The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they made it with a bat, fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, you died good riddance. That man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue. One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date is October the 9th, 2015. It is a Friday afternoon, and I hope that my voice finds you in relatively safety behind these enemy lines. That can be difficult at times because, you know, we live on a battlefield, and I'd say that with all sincerity. I really feel that way with the number of casualties that's being created every day in this country. It's a battlefield out there. And when we consider, you know, the killing by police as well as the killing of citizens, killing other citizens, it's a battlefield in America. There is a reported another shooting that occurred in Arizona at another community college. I don't really have any details on that. I just happened to see that the resident warmonger in Congress issued a statement about it, as it did occur in Arizona, which is the area of USA Inc. that one of the areas that he so-called represents. So it's a battlefield out there all around. But the way that I view things, citizen on citizen or resident on resident crime is a whole lot different. That's another different story than police on civilian killings, because we should not expect police to be criminal. But the facts are that they are. They are criminal as they carry out their mandate to enslave people and put them in the 21st century slavery and human trafficking. So let's not get it twisted. The two things are not related. And we can, you know, chew bubble gum and walk at the same time, I hope, and we can address these issues separately. Yeah, so today, we do not have a guest scheduled for today, so we're just going to open up the phone lines, have an open forum, if you will, where listeners can call in and share whatever stories they believe need more attention or whatever observations they have made during the past week. There has been a lot going on globally this past week, so there's always something to talk about. You should always constantly be gathering intelligence from the battlefield, all right, so that people can be more aware about what's going on, not just here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., but on a global scale, because it's all connected. The telephone number, if you would like to share, you can give us a call at 641-715-3660. That is, again, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. hit *61 if you would like to signal to me that you have a comment or a question. You can also use your web-based flash phone that is posted in the program page for today. Just click on the button, call the show. First, make sure you got a pair of headsets for your computer. And you click on that and you can make a toll-free call using the flash phone that is provided for you. Now, I do have, since a lot of people seem to be shy, I don't know if I'm intimidating people or what's going on, but, you know, we don't get a whole lot of phone calls on this program, but maybe they just, you know, appreciate the information or my perspective, and they just rather, you know, just take it all in. But again, if you have any questions or comments, you can certainly share those, because this is a people's platform. We want to hear from you, the listeners. Now, before I get into some of the news items that I would like to bring up during this next hour, some network news. Tando Radio Show, as Brother Dave indicated yesterday, will not be on air today as his family is in the midst of a transition, and he takes Fridays off to work towards that goal, So Tando Radio Show will not be live on air today. But certainly you can check out, for those that like that program, you can check out the archives. They're right there for you on blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just hover over the name of the program, Tando Radio Show. Then another menu item will pop up that says podcast. So you can listen to podcasts of all the programming on demand at any time. All right. So also, Race Treaty, Brother Robin, usually comes on air at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on Fridays. He will not be on air live tonight. He is traveling. I don't want to say where he's traveling to, because, you know, there ain't none of anyone's business, and we don't want to make it easy for anybody that wants to target him. So he is traveling. He has some things he needs to take care of, and so he indicated to me earlier that he will not be doing a live program tonight unless he's able to find a replacement. As far as I know, Lotus Place will be on air tonight at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, as they usually are usually regular or consistent with doing their broadcast. So you should expect for Lotus Place to be on air tonight at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And always want to remind you that the Black Talk Media Project, the North Carolina-based nonprofit that manages blacktalkradionetwork.com, also manages some other web properties, is having this 2015 fundraiser, which is ongoing. We had set a fundraising goal for $60,000 this year, and unfortunately we fell way short. Okay, but you know, we have raised this year thus far a little over $3,000, and that is much appreciated for those who have contributed to our work in elevating independent black media, new black media for the new millennia, if you will. So we appreciate that, and the fundraiser is ongoing. So if you would like to join those who have donated and contributed to keep our work going, to keep this platform active on the internet, and to also allow us to assist other independent black media producers, then please consider making a donation of any amount. Now, let's jump to the news. As many of you know, 10-10, that's tomorrow, Saturday, 10-10 will be the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March that occurred in 1995 in Washington, D.C., which was put together by Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. And so even people that I know, I have seen people on Facebook who have indicated that they are on the road and they are traveling to Washington, D.C. to participate in what has been named the Justice or Else rally that will be occurring this weekend. So if you are on your way up there, please be careful. Please be codified. Please be on full alert. Have your battlefield awareness, you know, because many things can happen out there. And we've heard, already heard from the area police up there in Washington, D.C. They're already setting a stage for acts of violence against the people, as they have been putting out to the media that they expect the people to be engaged in acts of violence. So they have put the police on high alert. So that should put you at high alert. Be careful up there. Make sure that as you're traveling on the highway, once you even get into the city, make sure you use your turn signals. Make sure you obey the speed limit. Make sure that you don't have any open containers in the car or any other thing that they might consider contraband to get you hemmed up. Because I imagine they will be pulling a lot of people over, you know, not simply because they want to intimidate, although we know that's a factor in it, not only because they want to intimidate those who are traveling to D.C. To participate in the Justice or Else rally, but we know that that's how they raise funds for the city, for the municipality, policing for profit. And so, you know, they always have quotas to meet and writing tickets. So be careful. Make sure that you don't do any illegal lane changes, to put your signals on, keep it to the speed limit. I would even say go 1 mile under the speed limit. Put it on cruise control so you don't, you know, lose track of what you're doing, become distracted, and then next thing you know, you getting pulled over for doing 10 miles over the speed limit. Use that cruise control. Yeah, lock it in at the speed limit, and then you don't have to, you know, I'm not going to say you don't have to worry, but then, you know, you will be able to say, look, I got my stuff locked on cruise control, so you need to go get your radar gun checked or whatever you're using to accuse me of traveling over the speed limit. Also, be careful of who you talk to and what you talk about. All right, because I fully expect the agents of the system to be out in full force and trying to set people up in some kind of plot or something. Because, I mean, they do it all the time. You'll have some informants that'll be out there in the crowd, and they'll be trying to befriend you and strike up a conversation. And then next thing you know, you're talking about killing cops, or you're talking about doing this or doing that. And they're recording you the whole time, and then the next thing you know, you being arrested and brought up on terrorism charges. So just be very mindful that we live behind enemy lines and that you need to stay codified. Don't get comfortable because you around a whole bunch of people that look like you. Don't do that, because they use people that look like you to target you and trap you in things. So I was going to say just use common sense, but actually, you know, logic is not really that common. So, you know, we don't want to assume that everybody has common sense. So just be careful up there. Be careful up there, because I'm sure that they would just love to snatch one of you up and put you in the 21st century slavery and human trafficking. I know they want to discredit the rally, and they already are doing that. And, you know, just to make the case, this is just a suggestion and another example of being codified. Because I was reading a Washington Post article that came out over the past couple of days, and they already using some of the comments of Minister Farrakhan, some of the things that he said around the country this year in relation to gay people, gay rights and whatnot, and Hollywood and Jews and stuff like that. And so, you know, I would make the case that some of our quote unquote leaders need to be more codified in their communications to the public. Let's not make it so easy for the enemy. Now, we know that they're going to try to manipulate, or they're going to try to take what we say out of context or whatnot. And that's why it's important that we constantly refine our skills in codification so that we don't give them that ammunition, that they can take something that we said out of context and you know, use it to demonize everybody that's participating. Now, interestingly, and I don't feel like this was a mistake. I don't think it was a mistake isn't a proper word to use. I don't feel like it was a coincidence that while the Justice or Else rally will be occurring in Washington, D.C., at, I believe, the National Mall or whatever public park is open, I'm not sure of the details on where it's going to be staged at. But while that's going on, suspected white racists will be having national armed, excuse me, that's not the name. I'm reading from this dailycost.com story that was just published yesterday. That's not what they call in the rally. What they're calling it is the Global Rally for Humanity. And they started planning this last month in August, urging quote unquote patriots to organize protests at their local mosque. Well, that's kind of a misprint because they don't run the mosque, so it's not their mosque. But I guess they're meaning the mosque that might be in their cities or towns or whatnot. So they're calling on quote unquote patriots, which is code word for white supremacists, to organize protests all over the country. All right, all over the country, they want to have armed protests, not just protests, but armed protests. All right, and they're just following this guy by the name of John Ritzheimer, who rose to prominence among anti-Muslim activists when he organized a protest called an Draw Mohammed Cartoon Contest in May, back in May earlier this year. Now, he's saying that he's not one of the organizers behind this weekend's rallies, but he is one of the prime promoters. Now, they are claiming that at least 20 rallies will be taking place outside of mosques this weekend and are being organized on a per mosque basis in accordance with the desires of the people who live in those areas. Now, they are saying that some of the organizers are claiming that they're urging participants to leave their weapons at home, but others are urging them to bring all of their constitutional rights, and that includes the Second Amendment. And there is a event page in Michigan that describes the Dearborn Occupy a Mosque event, or Intimidate a Mosque event, or Terrorize a Mosque event as an open carry anti-mosque pro-America rally on 1010. And so again, this isn't by coincidence. Now, I seriously doubt, I may be wrong about this, I don't know. But usually, from what I have seen in the past, they target mosques run by Arabs. And they may be run by black people as well. Or they may have like a mixed congregation. I don't know, you know, what mosques call the people who attend these services or whatnot. But yeah, we could use congregation and whatnot, and they may have a mixed congregation or whatnot. But most of the mosques that I have seen targeted in the past have been predominantly Arab mosque or non-Nation of Islam mosque. All right, and I also think that is not a coincidence, because I think that they actually might be afraid of the black Muslims that's associated with the Nation of Islam, because they do have no nonsense, I'm not taking your junk image that a lot of people know about. And so it would be extremely surprising to me if they target a mosque that is run by the Nation of Islam. I just don't see that happening because they have never preached nonviolence and have always preached self-defense by any means necessary, as one of the former ministers, our great counter-racist teacher and human rights advocate Malcolm X taught before he left the mosque and or left Nation of Islam. So yeah, I don't think that this is a coincidence. But see, this is why I did not foresee this happening. I still was an advocate of having local justice or else rallies, and I gave my reasons for that. And you know, not to say that this rally shouldn't be held in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's gonna happen. It's already happening, you know. But I, like other people, just do not see the benefits of such rallies because you're spending a lot of money that are going into the pockets of the white supremacists. That's money that you otherwise would not have spent. All right. That's money you wouldn't have spent. And also, we know Congress is not in session over the weekend. So, you know, those people are not going to be there. The ones who need to hear and see, you know, a multitude of people who are coming out and saying justice or else. Now, it's debatable about what the or else means, but I'm not going to go all into that today. But I just also think that there would have been a great benefit to organizing on a local level and bringing people together for self-defense of the black community and other counter-racist activities by, you know, linking people up together on the local level. I would have liked to see, and I may have been able to participate by going to, if there had been a justice or else rally in, let's say, Gastonia, North Carolina, or even Charlotte, North Carolina, which I'm just 15 minutes outside of the city, so it wouldn't have been too big of a burden, despite my lack of resources, to travel to Charlotte. But I definitely don't have the resources to travel to Washington, D.C., and then I also have other duties that require me to stay here at Black Talk Media Project headquarters, because, you know, we are a 24/7 media operation, and I don't have the equipment or the other resources in order to do the things that I need to do remotely. All right, you know, if I'm somewhere else in the future, I hope to have those resources, and that's why we do the fundraiser. But at the presently, I don't have those resources, so I can't leave home base. But also, I was thinking about leaving the home front unguarded. Now, while I am surrounded by family members, extended family, you know, I even got third cousins that live in the immediate area that I live in, and we've been here for who knows how long. You know, we are the descendants of the Aboriginal people who first settled this area of the world. And so a lot of us have stayed here, or if we moved away, we have come back here. And so while I do have plenty of males around to watch the home front, I am the only male in the household that I live in. I'm the only male, and I got daughters. I got some grandsons, of course. Happy birthday to my grandson Micah. Today is his fifth birthday. We'll be celebrating his birthday tomorrow with a party and whatnot, or a cookout tomorrow. But I'm just thinking in a general sense is that, you know, we're leaving the home front unguarded. If all of our males and everybody else, you know, just leave and all travel to one location, well, who's guarding the home front? You know, so, I mean, there's just a number of reasons that I think that the black community would have been better served by holding local rallies all on the same day, you know, make it a national thing, and you could even, you know, set it up so that you can stream in different messages from different parts of the country, line up of speakers and whatnot. And I mean, cause my daughter, for my other grandson's birthday, we had this big inflatable, what would you call that, movie screen that we blew up. And they were showing, you know, cartoons at my grandson's little cookout. And then, you know, after all the kids had got through having their fun and they went in to go to bed, we started screening Sam Greenlee's The Spook Who Sat by the Door. All right. And we did that via the internet. All right, hooking up the laptop to a projector that then we could stream stuff off the internet onto the big screen. And so, you know, this could have been set up to where we still could all heard from, you know, what we call national leaders or regional leaders, and pipe those in, those messages and stuff, recorded messages or whatnot, and pipe those in, okay? So, you know, I just think that we need a lot of organizing on the local level, and a lot of the things that we need to be engaged in do not need to be broadcast to the world. All right. It just doesn't need to happen. Not to say that there isn't any benefit to the people that's coming together in Washington, D.C. Yeah, there's some benefit to that. You know, share some libation, share some horror stories. It's really just being sociable and whatnot. And maybe you might, you know, hook up with some people from across the country and y'all network and whatnot and whatnot. So I'm not sitting here saying there are no positive benefits to be gained from such a rally. It's just that, you know, again, for the reasons I stated at the beginning of the program, if you're gonna go, be careful. Just be careful, because I don't want to hear about any of you becoming victims of the police. I don't want to hear about any of you, you know, being snatched up and on trumped up charges and whatnot. So yeah, I just don't want to see that happen to any of you. So I hope that if you're traveling up there, if you're listening to me now through the TuneIn app in your car, or you hooked up your smartphone to your car stereo and whatnot, and so you're able to get Black Talk Radio's digital radio station, just be careful, y'all, because we want you to return home safe and sound. All right, we don't want to hear about any of our people getting jacked up there, all right? Because then we're going to have to bring the or else, all right? So that's all I got to say about that. I see we do have a caller. I will come to you, caller, as soon as I take this station identification break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. I broadcast every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. And we'll be right back on the other side.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And welcome back. We do want to hit the phone lines. Let me give that number out again. That is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Of course, it's *6 and 1 to comment on air. You can also use the web-based flash phone. I forgot to get a studio line out. The studio line is also open. That number is 704-951-5030. That number is 704-951-5030. So without further delay, let's go to area code 480. You are live on air on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question, comment, or observation.
Good evening, Mr. Scotty. This is Isis from Arizona.
Greetings, Sister Isis. It's very hard for me to hear you.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Good to hear from you.
Okay, yeah, I'm on the traveling on the train. I'm listening to you on my phone. I just called in. I did want to let you know I'm. Sorry, I had to let the operator say what it was saying. But I will be watching the Justice or Else rally locally here. It was just not financially a good thing for my family. And then the good point that you brought was, you know, is it a good thing for us to be traveling across the country in mass right now anyway? You know, locally it would have been a better thing to have done smaller events. You know, something that we can't attend, but I will be watching it. They're going to be streaming it via the web.
Okay,
at Arizona State University.
At Arizona State University?
Yes. The local mosque got it. I guess they rented a room, or they got a room designated, and they're going to be streaming it live via the internet on the 10th.
Oh, I'm so glad that you alerted me to that and reminded me of that. And I will check online to see, you know, to promote it myself, and so that people can take a look at it via online. But when I was talking about having localized events, I didn't necessarily mean that, you know, they would be smaller events, because, you know, if you were like in a city of New York City where you got, you know, possibly millions of non-white people, black people, you know, they could have it in Central Park. The people that live locally in Washington, D.C., I'm sure there are hundreds of thousands of black people. They could have it there. Charlotte, North Carolina, you know, Marshall Park. But they probably would want to pick somewhere bigger than Marshall Park. But I'm just saying that for financial reasons, for security reasons, as well as connecting with people on a local level that you otherwise may not have been able to connect with, that just would have been a better thing, in my opinion. But I'm not criticizing them. I'm just making a suggestion that if this is to happen again in the future, that perhaps people consider having these rallies on a local level, all on the same day, and using technology to, like you just said, you're going to be able to watch it streaming at Arizona State University. So certainly, you know, we can make that happen. So that's all I had on it. Did you have anything else you wanted to share?
On that subject, no. But on the other subjects of well, I guess I am continuing on with that subject, because when it comes to locally, I was talking to a young man the other day, and he said that he would love to participate, and he even has the financial means to go. It's just that within that 24-hour period, how many people would he actually be able to network with anyway? You know, it would just be all about watching the speakers, and then you would have to squeeze in as much time as you could to just hurry up and give a business card off to people that weren't necessarily from your area anyway. So, yeah, I just think that that's just a real strong point. And I'm not criticizing either, and I do understand the importance of this event, and I will be watching it. But there was another thing I wanted to say, but right now it's getting my head because I am traveling.
Well, let me say this.
Keep on listening to the program.
Well, let me say this also to that point that you bring up about the guy. I'm assuming he's an entrepreneur, a business owner, black business owner and whatnot. And that's something I had raised in the past, is that, you know, this could be a way to inject money into the local black economy. You know, have the black businesses cater the event and provide this or that and, you know, sponsor it. And then we're able to, you know, connect with these. Oh, I didn't even know, dude, that you had a screen printing business. I've been looking for a black screen printer. I'm so glad I met you. Yeah, give me your card, man, so I could do business with you in the future. So that's what I'm saying.
There you go.
Yeah, because I'm saying.
There you go. That's the point I was trying to make, and I forgot forgot to mention that, was to bring the local businesses together to, you know, so that they can continue on from that point and have, and that event could be a yearly event mm-hmm. that we do. And, you know, even though the Nation of Islam, you know, headed it, that's fine, but, you know, we could still run with that. And there is going to be something locally here in Arizona at Arizona State University. Is there anything local where you're at that's going to be streamed online? Or
I imagine that the Nation of Islam will stream it online. I'm making an assumption, but I imagine that's where, you know, of course, Arizona State is going to be able. I imagine that, you know, the Nation of Islam is going to control that. But in terms of if I have heard about anything promoted here locally, no. No. And there are a few mosques that's in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I know some of the fellas because, you know, I've met them at some of the community events that I have went to in the past. But from what I have seen from them is that they're all traveling to Washington, D.C. And so they're not, that I know of, any local events that's going to be going on.
Well, I'm going, and I'm going to be printing up some 13th Amendment flyers.
All right. Let them know slavery wasn't abolished.
The new abolitionist position, to the best of my ability. I'm not a learned person on it, but I do know that it's wrong, and I'm going to be around like-minded people, so I'm definitely going to take advantage of the people that are there to watch the event mm-hmm. And bring up that subject as well so that we can get that word out.
Yeah, let them know. You know, this isn't mass incarceration. This just isn't police terrorism. There's a purpose behind all that, and the purpose is 21st century slavery and human trafficking as per the instructions of the 13th Amendment. So, yeah, most definitely spread that abolitionist message. I appreciate that, sister.
Okay, I'm going to continue listening. It's windy out here, but I'm listening. I'm here.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Q&A queue is cleared.
All right, good to hear from Sister Issa, too, and good to hear that she is able to attend a local event where she can hook up with people from her community and network, as well as watch, you know, the different speakers that will be participating in the Justice or Else rally in Washington, D.C. Now, I want to change gears to another story. I talked about U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch earlier, and what I thought about the illogical comments she made about not forcing police behind these enemy lines to keep stats on the number of people that they are killing. Well, she has doubled down on the illogic at this meeting of top cops from across the country. And I'm talking about the heads of these slave catching forces all across USA Inc. And there was some sentiments that were being expressed there that were suggesting that upticks, and I don't know this to be a fact, but they are claiming that there have been a uptick in violent crimes this year in 2015. And they are saying that the reason that you see an increase in violent crime doesn't have anything to do with poverty. Doesn't have anything to do with white supremacy. Doesn't have anything to do with corporatism. It has nothing to do with any of that. Doesn't have anything to do with disenfranchisement. Doesn't have anything to do with a lack of resources. But it all has to do with a lack of aggressive policing. This is what these people said, right? That, oh, we, since all of these YouTube videos and stuff been coming out of these killer cops getting caught in the act, and it's being circulated by the, you know, millions and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people all over the world, indeed, are seeing the police forces, the slave catchers of America, gunning down people, shooting them in the back, and beating people, slamming people on the ground violently, and just all kind of terrorism going on, you know, and saying that, you know, that's the that people that cops are afraid. They're afraid that they're going to get caught on video. And of course, I'm paraphrasing what they're saying, but I am accurate in interpreting what they're saying. So they are saying that these cops are so scared of getting caught on video that they are not engaged in aggressive policing anymore, and they're pulling back. And because they're pulling back, that's causing crime to go up. Look, first of all, I'm not agreeing that there has been an uptick in violent crimes. And some of the crimes that have been occurring, if we want to, you know, accept them at face value, the gunning down of all of those people in Oregon at that community college. Now we got another report of another mass shooting. I don't know how many casualties occurred in Arizona. In Arizona. Also, I don't see any evidence that there is an increase in violent crime. There could be. But it ain't because you are pulling back and you are no longer out here aggressively doing what you call policing. Yeah. So you're not out there slamming people on the ground. You're not out there shooting people in the back with their hands up and whatnot. So, you know, that's the reason that crime is increasing in this country. That don't make no kind of sense whatsoever, and it's not supported by the evidence. Because I guarantee you, you can walk into a courtroom today. Well, they about to close here on the East Coast in about 15 or so minutes. They close at 5 p.m. Eastern, promptly, as they can't wait to get it, you know, and go enjoy their weekends and whatnot. But I guarantee you, if you go to the courthouse, your local courthouse on Monday, that it will be overflowing with a steady stream of people who have been what? Charged with crimes. All right. Charged with real crimes and charged with made up crimes, like, you know, the drug war crimes, so-called crimes, nonviolent victimless crimes, where the only person being victimized is the person using the drugs. Well, that's self-victimization. I still don't think they should be arrested. I still don't think that they should be enslaved over that. I think if they need help, that they should be given help. And you're not going to convince me that putting them in prison is going to get them, is helping them. That's not helping them. I mean, so Attorney General Loretta Lynch agrees with this nonsense. You know, at least that's what she's saying publicly. Privately, in her own mind, she probably know that's nonsense. But she want to show her solidarity with these white supremacists that and proxy races, other proxy racist tools across the country. So she co-signing on to that nonsense. Again, you know, if they were pulling back from aggressive policing, then I wouldn't keep seeing body counts rise in this country. Again, they on pace to kill over 1,000 people. That's police. To kill over 1,000 people. I'm not saying that some of those shootings were not justified, because I did see one video where the brother brought it on himself. I hate to say it like that, but he did. He seemed to have a death wish. I think he committed suicide by a cop. And the way he was acting towards that police officer, like he had a gun reaching behind his back, and then acting like, you know, then snatch his hand out and point it at the cop, man. If I'd been in that cop situation, I would have had to pull the trigger too. So I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you and say that all of these shootings are unjustified, but I will tell you that a huge percentage of them are unjustified. And not just the shootings, but the beatings. The beatings are unjustified. It don't take all of that. And so the very fact that I'm still seeing videos of people getting beat down by police and otherwise abused by police, getting killed by police, the very fact that I don't see a dip in the arrest records, you know, there's no downturn in the number of arrests that they're making. So how in the heck can they claim then that, oh, we're no longer engaged in aggressive policing in these communities And therefore, that's why the crime is going up, because, see, we are now on our best behavior and we're even being passed. Man, that's all BS. But I guess this was a pity party that these top cops from across America was having for themselves, and whining and crying because they being exposed. See, they ain't never had to deal with this in the past. They ain't never had to deal with the internet in the past. They didn't have to deal with citizen-based journalism in the past. See, now, you know, they didn't have to deal with video recording technology in the palm of your hand, in the hands of citizens. They ain't never had to deal with that in the past. So now they have to deal with that, and they're being exposed. And their reaction is to whine and cry and tell lies about we're no longer engaged in aggressive policing, therefore that's why there's an uptick in crime. No. If there's an uptick in crime, that tells me then that there's an uptick in poverty. And then what kind of crime are you talking about? Are you talking about domestic violence? Are you talking about mass shootings? Are you talking about robberies, bank robberies, convenience store robberies? What are you exactly talking about? I think they're talking about the murders that we keep seeing, you know, reported coming out of places like Chicago and other cities and whatnot. They are saying that, you know, 10 people got killed over the weekend and whatnot in these cities. Well, here's my thoughts about it. It's all still your fault. It's still all your fault because of your drug war that makes that upholds the illegal market for drugs in the streets, where these people are going to compete for those resources. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar a year industry, and ain't nobody willing to leave that money on the floor. All right. And so people out there that otherwise can't find a way to earn money, they turn to those things for whatever reason. Well, the very fact that you uphold that street market is the cause of that violence. In all the different countries that have either decriminalized or legalized cannabis, let's just use cannabis since it's the most consumed so-called quote-unquote drug in the country and worldwide, that in those cities and in those states and in those countries that have taken those steps, you have actually seen a decrease in related drug war violence. So it's all the root cause of most of the violence is still on them. It's still on them. They are still the root cause of it, the way that I see it. And then number two, whenever I hear about somebody getting killed and they haven't arrested the person who did the killing, who they said killed someone, and they got a, you know, undisputable evidence like video or, you know, 10 witnesses, a bunch of witnesses, or the person has confessed or something like that. If there is no perpetrator, then I am not going to automatically assume that a drug gang did it or somebody else, a criminal element in the community did it, because there is evidence. And this has been going on for decades, that police could be behind the killings. They could be behind the killings to justify overtime. And, you know, this gang war is really getting out of hand. And so, yeah, we need that overtime or whatnot. Look, in L.A., it has been documented in Los Angeles that to keep beef going and violence going between the Bloods and the Crips, that police, and of course they were plainclothes officers and whatnot, would steal the vehicles of a gang member, alleged gang member, and then use that vehicle to go do a drive-by shooting. They don't even have to kill anyone, just shoot in the general vicinity. And then the people who have been targeted are automatically going to assume that the rival gang did it, and then they're going to take retaliation on who they thought did it. And then those who were retaliated against, even though they didn't do it, then they're going to retaliate. Then it's just this constant cycle of violence going on. I am not making this up, people. I am not making this up. I have interviewed people. I have interviewed people who work with gangs and stuff. I have read about it in different books. And so don't automatically assume that if these are unsolved murders, don't automatically assume that this is citizen-on-citizen violence. Government entities have never been above killing their own people to achieve a political agenda, an economic agenda, whatever. So don't assume these things. Don't assume them. But this nonsense that people videotaping police engaged in crime is the cause of a so-called uptick in crime, citizen-on-citizen crime, the logic is that's illogical and there is no evidence. But that's what they were saying. That's what Attorney Loretta Lynch co-signed on to with these racist suspects, white supremacists, and other proxy racist tools. So I just don't agree with that, man. I'm not buying that. It makes no sense. Show me some evidence that they pull back. You can't show me the evidence, but I can show you the evidence that they still killing. They still arresting plenty of people, and they still processing people through the court system to put them into modern day slavery and human trafficking. So, you know, the only thing that she said this week that made any logical sense to me is that she said that she believes states do have the right to legalize cannabis if they want to. If that's what they want to do, then the federal government shouldn't interfere with that. That's the only thing that she said that made sense to me. All right. So, you know, again, I just think that anyone who thinks that getting quote unquote more people of color, black people, Hispanics, Native Americans, American Indians, whatever, non-white people, they get more non-white people into these positions of power is going to somehow dismantle the system of racism, white supremacy. That's a very illogical viewpoint, because we have probably hundreds of years of evidence to suggest that is not the case. That is not the case. The system, you don't go in and change the system. What usually happens is the system changes you. Or if you don't go along with the program, they get rid of you, which is something I talked about in terms of Cynthia McKinney and the Democratic Party pulling their support for her and finding somebody else to challenge her in the Democratic primary and throwing all the money and the support behind her challenger. Because, no, she was engaged in trying to dismantle this system to practice justice. And so, yeah, again, what Neely Fuller calls racially showcase, racial showcasing. When they put those people in those positions, 99.9% of the time, they are not there trying to overthrow racism and white supremacy. They just trying to collect a paycheck, not make any waves, and, you know, get them butter biscuits and whatnot, cause them butter biscuits from Massa sure taste good. And yeah, so yeah, just very it's just very sad to see. I don't want to say disappointed, cause I don't know the woman that much about the woman. I know a little bit about her before she became U.S. Attorney General, but she is not someone that could disappoint me, because I never put any faith in her to begin with, or any person. I don't put my faith into people. I have people that I admire. I have people that I support, but I recognize that we're all human beings. We can all make mistakes and whatnot, but when it comes to people that's in the system, working for the system and drawing a paycheck from the system, I, man, would be a fool if I put faith in that person to go in there and dismantle the system of racism and white supremacy. I could be wrong. Maybe they are doing some things under the table that ain't meant for everybody to see and whatnot. That could be going on, but I don't see any evidence of that. I don't see any whistleblowers coming out saying that's what's going on. In fact, when I hear about whistleblowers, I hear about them being prosecuted. So I don't think any of that is going on. All right. So, the last story that I want to share with you today is a underreported story that came out in last month. Again, I try to link to all of these stories that I share with you. And a lot of times I also post them to our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook. And once I post to Facebook, that automatically goes out to our Twitter profile, which is at Black Talk Radio. But I reported on the story of Jeremy McDowell in Wilmington, Delaware, who was seen on video being executed by three police officers who happen to be white. Why it is important to note that the majority of these killer cops are white. To me, if you're wearing that uniform, all I see is the color of the uniform that you're wearing. And I see what you practicing and what you upholding. So race, skin color, that doesn't really matter to me in terms of a police officer and what he's doing. Unless I'm trying to illustrate, this is proxy racism and how the system, maintains itself by getting non-white people to participate in their own oppression and whatnot. But there were three white cops seen on video executing Mr. McDowell, who was wheelchair bound. He didn't have use of his legs or whatnot. He had been in this wheelchair for a very, very, very long time. I don't know if he was born without use of his legs or if he was in some terrible accident and became paralyzed, but you could tell that he, you know, his legs had lost all this mass, muscle mass and whatnot, you know, the little skinny legs that you usually see with people who are wheelchair bound and whatnot. And they had already shot him one time, you know, at the beginning of the video, you see this killer cop sneaking up alongside these cars and Mr. McDowell is sitting in his wheelchair, and I don't see a gun. At no point do I see a gun, even though it was reported he has shot himself in a suicide attempt. Excuse me. Even though it had been reported that he has shot himself, I never saw a gun. Even after his little lifeless body fell out the wheelchair onto the pavement, I didn't see a gun. I didn't see a gun fall on the ground or anything. Wasn't no gun in his hands. And he was moving his hands around. He was doing that. But hell, they had done shot him. So you see this cop sneak up on him, you know, by these, because he's like, say he's, let's say he's on the street, right? But his wheelchair is like close to the curb and whatnot. And so then you had these cars parked, you know, on the street. And so this one cop, you know, sneaks up on him, man, with a shotgun and shoots him. Just blam. No commands. No, sir. We understand that you tried to kill yourself. You're scaring the community. How can I help you, sir? I don't want to hurt you, but I don't want you to hurt yourself. I don't want you to hurt anyone in the community. What do you need, sir? How can we resolve this situation nonviolently? No, he didn't say nothing to the man. He just shot him. Just shot him. Now, he shot him, it looked like, in the side, in his stomach area, because then when the other two cops come up, they all form a little line and they, you know, cross the street and they're, you know, they go out of view, but you can imagine that they're all in a line right directly across from this man and put Mr. McDowell. and putting themselves in danger. If he did have a gun, why would you put yourself directly in the line of fire? You know, so we see them go, you know, in front of this building, and then they're out of view, and then seconds later, blam, 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 blam. And then we see his lifeless body fall on the ground. Well, again, I have reported on this story. I also published an article and a video about it. Didn't look like they had pulled back from their aggressive police tactics that the police and the attorney general is claiming is causing an uptick in crime across the country. No, no, no. They went in with guns blazing on a paraplegic who was suicidal, allegedly. So, 4 days after that, now that occurred on September the 23rd, which has been what, about 2 weeks ago, maybe September the 23rd, a little over 2 weeks ago. Now, 4 days later, there was another shooting. Now, I don't have all the details on the shooting. I don't know if the police did the shooting. I don't know if they was investigating a shooting. The details are lacking in that respect. But I don't think that 300 to 400 people would come out in the street to confront police officers if drug dealers were shooting at each other or then shot each other. That doesn't seem logical to me. I could be incorrect, but that doesn't seem plausible. But 4 days later, according to DelawareOnline.com, and this is a story that did not make national news that I saw. Again, I don't watch TV like that unless there's something that's going to be on and I want to see, you know, somebody, a particular person that's going to be on a news program talk about something. I don't watch TV like that unless I'm in my downtime. I'm trying to relax or whatnot. I might watch a movie or watch the Carolina Panthers play on Sundays or whatnot. But otherwise, I'm not sitting there 24/7. But I am plugged into the internet, and so I do have, you know, how to use Google Alerts, and so I'm always alerted to a lot of this stuff. Well, for some reason, I did not get a Google Alert on this, all right? And I did not see any other outlets reporting on this. So what I'm trying to say is this was not a widely reported story. The only place I have found this story thus far is on DelawareOnline.com. So they said 4 days after they executed Jeremy McDowell in West Center City, again, we're talking about Wilmington, Delaware, 300 to 400 people poured out of their homes to confront police officers. Officers told those in the growing crowd to back up so they could set up a larger perimeter. But residents began pushing back against officers, and some threw rocks and bottles. Several officers were hit. 3 people were arrested. Now, reason I'm sharing this story is because, as I think I wrote, this is evidence that people are becoming restless. People are becoming, let's say, more willing to engage the police. And, you know, I'm not saying go out there and throw rocks and bottles at the police or anything like that, because I don't want you to get shot or whatnot. But people are just seemingly so sick and tired of being sick and tired of suffering under police terrorism and 21st century slavery that they just feel like they don't have anything to lose anymore. And they're starting to confront these cops in the street. That's a huge number of people. 300 to 400 people pouring out of their homes to confront cops. Yeah, I would suspect that they have been under police terrorism occupation for a very, very, very long time. And after seeing the video of Jeremy McDowell being unmercifully gunned down while he sat in his wheelchair, that they just sick and tired, man. They sick and tired of it. And I'm not going to criticize them for what they did. I will say that that's ill advised, but I'm not going to criticize them for doing what they did. I'm not living in that community. I am not under police occupation terrorism like many of my brothers and sisters and other people all across this nation. So I'm not going to criticize how they react to that terrorism. I'm not going to do it. If I lived in that community and I saw the same thing and I had been harassed constantly by the police, or, you know, they had been enslaving my family members, who's to say I wouldn't have acted in the same way in the heat of the moment? So I'm not going to sit up here and criticize people for throwing rocks and bottles at the police terrorists. I'll just say that that's ill-advised behavior behind these enemy lines, cause rocks and bottles. You know, they got guns. They got guns. They got all kind of weaponry. And rocks and bottles ain't going to get it done. All right? So that's just ill-advised. That's ill-advised. Now, what I would advise them to do is to organize. To organize a militia to patrol and police their own community. You need crime addressed in the community? Then, hell, address the crime in the community yourself. Sit down with these drug dealers or whatnot and say, look, I know you are not the cause of this. I wish you wasn't selling drugs in my community. I wish you understood the fact that you got the CIA and the DEA making deals with drug cartels to smuggle drugs into our community. I don't have a job to give you. And you seem to be, you know, disenfranchised with that felony status, and they won't allow you to get public housing. They won't allow you to get, you know, food stamps and benefits until you can get on your feet. So I'm not going to judge you. But what I will ask you to do is not stand out here on the street corner selling drugs, not to be all out in the street and fighting with other people and using violence against people, and keep whatever you're doing behind closed doors and be discreet about what you're doing. And while you're at it, all that money that you're making, yeah, you need to make a donation to the food pantry or something like that. You need to give that money back. You need to give some of that money back to the community. All right. And I'm going to actually talk about this on a future broadcast in terms of something I read about the Black Panther Party, where they were being accused of being drug dealers when they were not actually involved in any drug dealing. But where did they get all that money to create the survival programs that they created? They weren't taking money from the government, but I digress. That's for a future conversation. But what I'm trying to say is, instead of us being afraid of people in our community, maybe we need to be talking to people in our community and coming into an agreement on what will be tolerated and what will not be tolerated. If you're going to sell drugs, do it in your house, man. Don't be out here in the corner bringing attention to yourself and all this and that and making the community look unsafe and unpleasant. And what? Take it indoors, man. Take it indoors. Don't be selling to no kids. Don't do that, man. Don't do that. If I catch you selling to kids, the police is going to be the least of your worries. But I don't want it to come to that. I don't want it to come. Can we come to an agreement that we are not going to engage in this sort of behavior? Now, if you grown and your customers are adults, and so, you know, I'm not going to be trying to tell y'all how to run your life or anything like that. But, you know, you are in our community. So, you know, if you're going to be in our community, these are the standards that you must operate by. And then we'll get along just fine. Long as what you're doing is not out here in the streets, long as it's not put in the community, what these grown people do, that's y'all business. Keep it indoors. You don't need the police people. You don't need them. I agree with some other police officers I have heard, or retired police officers, who have said police ought to be like firemen. They shouldn't leave the station until they've been called out. But there's a lot of things that we could be taken care of in our communities. In fact, we have done it in the past without these terrorists policing us. We are not little children. At least I hope we are not. We're not little children that we need overseers. So, you know, it's all about taking your community back. So I hope that those people will organize, will develop some codification. I don't know what the gun laws are up there, but if they can do open carry and start patrolling their own community and send that psychological message to police that, you know what, be on notice before you think about gunning down another wheelchair bound victim in our community, that guess what? We here, we watching, and we armed. That'll send a stronger message, in my opinion, than, you know, throwing rocks and bottles at the police or going to Walmart and buying poster board and making signs and marching and stuff like that. Again, no, I'm not trying to criticize those who engage in marching and other forms of protest, but I mean, the evidence just suggests to me that that alone is not going to get it. That they, you know, people been marching and protesting for damn how many years now, and the violence continues. So it's time to do something different, man. Let's do what the Panthers did, because they were getting results, and because they were getting results, that's why the FBI came up with COINTELPRO to target them and frame them up and put them in prison. That's why we do Political Prisoner Radio, to bring you into the knowledge of these political prisoners. So to me, that's what they were doing was having an impact, or else they wouldn't have been targeted for assassination or imprisonment, enslavement. That was seen as a threat. Black people policing their own communities? We can't have that. Yeah, that's exactly what you should be doing, is what they don't want you to do. And in terms of, well, I don't want to become a political prisoner, or I don't want to get assassinated by the police because I'm helping my community. Well, guess what? You're being victimized any damn way. You're getting shot. Hey, Mr. What's his name again? There's just so many victims. It's hard. Mr. McDowell wasn't a Black Panther. Mr. McDowell wasn't in the Black Liberation Army. Mr. McDowell was living in a nursing home. And wheelchair bound. He wasn't doing any of that. So he still became a victim though, right? A lot of these people that they arresting for so-called, you know, drug crimes and whatnot, they weren't engaged in any kind of revolutionary activity or self-defense or self-policing or anything, but they still got snatched up into slavery, didn't they? It's time to reevaluate our tactics. It is time to do something different than the same old thing that, you know, it seems like we always do. And this is not against the masses of people that engage in that protest and stuff like that. It has its uses. It does have its uses. It should be in your war chest. It should be one of the strategies that you employ. So it's nothing against anybody that's engaging in that. But there needs to be, you know, in addition to, there needs to be other things that we are doing, and we don't have to broadcast it to the world. Actions speak louder than words. All right. Actions speak louder than words. And look at the action that them brothers and sisters in Houston are taking in patrolling their community, patrolling armed patrols of their community. So anyway, I just thought that this should have been, you would have thought, not that it should have been, but I would have thought that, you know, hundreds of people throwing rocks and bottles at cops. Damn, this going to be on CNN. This going to be on Fox News. That's certainly they going to be talking about it. I haven't seen anything. I guess they don't want other people getting ideas about standing up and confronting the police by the hundreds. Not by the tens, not by the 20s, by the hundreds. Hell, that's more people that's in the police department in Wilmington. There's strength in numbers, people. So, anyway, those are my thoughts on that. come to the end of the broadcast. Again, just to remind you, Tando Radio Show, Brother Dave, his family's in transition. I don't want to say what that is, but he needs to take Fridays off so that he can, you know, take care of his business, family business. Brother Jerome tonight, who hosts Race Treaty, will not be on air tonight because he's traveling. I don't want to say where he's traveling to in case somebody want to target him or something like that. So unless he's able to successfully find a replacement, he will not be on air at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. But at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, the Lotus Place radio program is scheduled to air live right here on Black Talk Radio Network. And whether we're on live or not, there's constant content that you can listen to on Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio station. And of course, you know, there's some other articles that I have put out today on the network, Black Talk Radio Network, if you want to take a gander at some of the things that I have wrote about today. Again, U.S. Attorney Loretta Lynch does not support federal mandate to police and tracking extrajudicial killings. Let me see. Nigerian government. This one you will find on allafrica.com, but it's on our Facebook page. The Nigerian government denies reports of fresh Ebola outbreak. They have quarantined 10 people in Nigeria for Ebola, but they're saying that's not enough to call it an outbreak and whatnot. So you can check that out. Another article that was published today on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, the city of Charlotte to pay $179,989.59 to kill a cop, Randall Carrick, who jury full of implicitly biased white people, let's just call them racist suspects, could not agree with the other people that this man should be found guilty of involuntary or voluntary manslaughter. So they couldn't get a conviction. It wasn't long after that that they said, we're not going to retry him, even though this was a hung jury, so as they say. And so he was under suspension pending a conviction. And since he didn't get convicted, they owe him all his back pay. So the taxpayers of Charlotte got to pay this killer cop for sitting at home and relaxing and chilling as he planned along with his attorneys of how he was going to get away with killing unarmed Jonathan Farrell. Play Mobile. Here's another story published today. Play Mobile, which is a toy manufacturing company, is teaching children how to practice race-based slavery. A toy playset that the Toys R Us is selling, a pirate playset, is teaching children how to enslave black people. So y'all might want to take a gander at that. And finally, Walter Scott's family has settled in a lawsuit. Well, it's not really a lawsuit. I don't think they filed one, but they got a settlement from the city for $6.5 million. All right. And I'm not even going to go into this diatribe about what we should be suing for. They are entitled to that money for the killing, for compensation for the killing of Walter Scott. That cop, killer cop, Michael Slager, he's still in jail. The judge did deny him bond and said that he would be a threat to the community if we let this guy out of jail, so we're going to keep him in jail. Very rare that you will see justice actually being practiced, but he still has not gone to trial yet. So that's a case that we will continue to look at. All right, with everything said, remember, the 2015 fundraiser is ongoing. Might as well not even put a date to it or a year to it. We are always in constant need of donations and even people volunteering their time so that we can continue our mission through the Black Talk Media Project to create, to maintain, to produce independent black media, and to for us to be able to assist other people in that endeavor. So if you have not already, please make a donation, whatever you can. I understand our people don't have all the resources in the world and y'all struggling just like me, but whatever you can contribute, please contribute. Any amount is much appreciated. So do that. Now, with that said, recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. Keep our brothers and sisters in your prayers as they travel to Washington, D.C., or as they travel to other locations around the nation to network with other people pertaining to the Justice or Else rally, because we are behind enemy lines. We don't want anybody running up into any of these places and trying to do a mass killing. These racist suspects already said they're going to be out there this weekend armed to the teeth and then trying to intimidate other non-white people. So recognize the fact that we live behind enemy lines. Casualties are being created every day in Battlefield America. So you need to develop battlefield awareness. You need to develop codification and skills so that you can decrease the likelihood that you will become a victim or a casualty of 21st century slavery and human trafficking, which is a very huge operation that white supremacists are running on a global scale, but more so behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. than anywhere else on the planet. And that's the truth. That's the truth. The facts speak to that. All right. So I will be back on air Sunday night with a episode of Political Prisoner Radio at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Check other listings on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com from some of our independent media partners who also have programs coming up on their independent stations that they maintain through the Black Talk Media Project. All right, people, again, can't say it enough. Be safe out there. Be safe out there. And I'm going to leave y'all with some message music. This is Fred Hampton introducing Bobby Seale from the 1960s back there in Chicago. We Drawn a Line. All right. Peace and blessings to all.
I'm the deputy chairman of the state of Illinois Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton. I have the pleasure now to introduce who I believe is one of the baddest motherfuckers in the world. Did something that a lot of us ought to be very glad that he did. He was a part of making the only party which exists in the United States today that represents the people. As a matter of fact, he was one half. Him and Huey P. Newton started out in 1966. Sometimes I think where some of us were in 1966. I think what we would have said if we'd heard about some niggas going out the street talking about cans of guns, fighting all them police because we didn't know they were pigs out there in the street. And I think I'm speaking for the whole party of the state of Illinois. I know I am. When I say that we love Huey P. Newton, we love Elvis Cleaver, we love Bobby Hutton, we love the Black Panther Party, capitalism and racism and said that we'll fight it till the end. We said we draw the line somewhere, motherfucker. If you try to pass us, we'll blow your brains out. They were the first ones that came through with the program that was initiated for the benefit of the people. All those things that I named, the reasons why we love them are reasons that make it beneficial to us. But let me simply say when I'm introducing Brother Bobby, that we love him because it's lovely to love. Tell me about the people.
You know what we're going to do?
We are going to defend ourselves. Because Huey P. Newton said that power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in a desired manner. What kind of phenomena? Social phenomena. What is the social phenomena? Black people, Mexican American, any kind of people, begins to learn that the social phenomenon is that, in fact, U.S. racist, decadent, capitalist and feudalistic America is a police state. And a police state exists here that these pigs are doing nothing but protecting the avaricious businessman and the demagogic politician, protecting the exploitative system that they got going. That in fact, we are tired of it. We are sick of it. You've been brutalizing black people. You've been murdering and lynching them. Black people are tired of it. Black people's vanguard in the revolution all of a sudden, and it's phenomenally correct also, but we are concerned with that social phenomena. We are concerned with that exploitation. We are concerned with the oppression that black people and all other peoples in the world who are suffering the same common oppression that we are suffering today. The thing is we have the ability to define it. Still, if we have the ability to define it, the only next thing to do is get organized. Get organized. So when a pig walks up to you, or a pig gets a job with the people, you be so organized, you be learning some tactics, you be learning some revolutionary principles, you be having some guns hit out somewhere, you have some proper tactics. That when the pig gets a job with you, the pig gets wrong, you whoop your guns out on him, blow him away, and then you have the ability, in fact you have made that pig act in a desired manner.